want to continue with Poggy's thing with our caucus. And let's continue from the end about eating together. When a woman is Vishasta Gusu, what's the thing about eating together? So, in this section, we learn how Lachas got willing to pertain to a husband and wife eating together while a wife is in Egypt. As a Hashkafic introduction, it's worthwhile to mention that in the laws of Nidiv, a force who wrote this sefer, a very fine sefer, is Mazda, we learned from the halacha how Chazal stands for Chachamim Zechor and Racha, intended a meal to be. A meal between a husband and wife is not just a time to eat and satiate your hunger, it's an opportunity to share quality time together, to share concepts and feelings, and to complement one another. Ideally, a meal between a husband and wife is meant to be a time of bonding. Being that Chachamim Zechor and Racha had this understanding of a meal, they had to implement hachakas, safeguards, specifically during the meal, so that the couple does not have to show progress to inappropriate touching. There are two main issues with regards to a husband and wife eating together while she is in Egypt. Number one, eating at the same table, and B, eating her leftover food. As with each topic, we will begin by learning the earliest requirements and then delve into the very practical application of these halachos. For example, can a husband and wife share sushi from a sushi boat at a restaurant? I'm not familiar with what a boat is, paper boat, right? Can they share popcorn, a salt shaker, or a toothpaste, and more? Now, I want to tell you, I believe, not just for a husband and wife, it is critical that a family have dinner together every night. Critical that a family together have a dinner, myself, that they should try to feel like a family and be able to touch base. So when you're home, it's important that everyone eats together. Not just for a husband and wife, that they touch base. I see that sometimes families and the kids sometimes go here and there. There has to be some structure. And it's a very fine thing, not just on Shabbos, but even to try during the week. So let's begin. The Mishnah in Shabbos teaches that a Zav may not eat with a Zava because a gergel of Eira can lead to Hebra. You know what a Zav is? A man that has a right, you know, a man has a flow. And a Zava is a woman who's like a needed for our purposes. And the Lamaisa should not eat together. The Rav Yoh says the Isser is because gergel of Eira will lead to Hebra. The prohibition also includes a husband eating with his wife who's a needed. That might lead to also. So I don't know why it has to say Zav and Zava. Even if the man is just a regular guy, I don't know what the Kiddush of that is. What's the Kiddush? What's the Kiddush that a Zav can eat with a Zava? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm confused also because for Zav there's no Isser Bia the way that there is for a Zava. So
I think it's an issue of becoming Tomei though. Right? Yeah, the issue is that you can't live with a Nida or a Zava, but, you know, why does it say Zav? That's what I'm saying. That's the kasha we're asking. So therefore, Lamaisa, that's the kasha that we're bothered by.
Rebbe.
Yes.
If they're cohabitating, he's going to be, to some extent, some sort of, like, step removed in Tumah.
He's a Zav. He's already.
I'm asking, why does it say a Zav can't eat with a Zava? A regular man can't eat with a Zava. Regular man, that's what I'm bothered about. So let's think about how we're going to try to answer that question. It's a Mishnah in Shabbos and Daf Al from an Al. Okay? You're not asking, you're not bothered by it. Okay, let's begin. Now, the Rosh has a big Kiddush. The Rosh says that in the past, every person had his own personal table. And when couples decided to eat from the same small table, it was an act of endearment and chiva. But when today, no one eats at their own table nowadays, right? That's weird, no? Everyone eats at a common table. So in those days, everyone ate at their own tables. So if you ban the man and woman eat at the same table, that shows that they're what? Coming together for something. So that's not a good thing. But nowadays, everyone eats at a what? Eats at a table anyway, at a large table with the family. So the Rosh is, what are we going to do now? So they have to place a hecker. You know what a hecker is? A hecker is a, it's a good way to translate, a sign. A sign on the table between husband and wife while she's in meeting. I don't know, put a picture on there that's normally not on the table.
Flowers?
Something that's normally not on the table. Yeah, from the language of the Rosh, that some place a hecker, seems it is an opinion that hecker for a big table is not actually required. So if you have a huge table, you have a man and the husband on one side, the woman on the other side, then it really what? Really doesn't need, you don't need to have a hecker for the set. Some say. Seems it is an opinion, a hecker for a big table is not actually required. On the other hand, not everyone agrees with the Rosh, and we hold like the other Rishonim. The Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban, Rivei Rashba, who do not differentiate between different sized tables, and they asur eating together on all sized tables. That's what we hold. Who are the Rishonim? The Ramban, Rivei and Rashba, who argue that no matter what, you always need a hecker on the table. We don't hold like that Rosh that says, well, if it's a big table, you don't need that hecker. Okay? So that's what we need to have this hecker halakha lice. Now, in the Machaber and Sif Gimel, in Kuf Sadi Hey, Sif Gimel, Paschas, while a woman is in eating, the couple should not eat at the same table unless there's some sort of hecker, such as a bread or a pitcher, between his and her plate for the use of different placemats on which to eat. Which we'll discuss the halakha of hecker until we get them. And then Shevet Alevi writes that since the Machaber does not differentiate between different sized tables, the Machaber seems to paskin like the majority of poskim that forbid eating together even on large tables. This also the Tunis Veragolin quotes the above Rishonim as the Makom Shkukim and omits the Rush. So we don't hold like the Rush. You always need to have a hecker. Obviously you don't make it obvious, but you know, something that's on the table that is not normally on the table. Now the Shach Paskins, that if eating at the same table is usher, certainly usher for a couple to eat from the same plate. One of the guys once asked me that it's certainly in dating that's inappropriate to eat from the same plate. Even though we're during dating, we said there's no harhakas, but it's still not, you know, it's not sneeze, I don't think, to eat from the same plate. But certainly when they're married and the woman is benedict, they cannot eat from the same plate. And the Bnei HaShulchan says, you know who the Bnei HaShulchan was? He recently passed away a few months ago. The Bnei HaShulchan has a seminal sefer that was needed. His name is Rav Kohen. Rav Kohen. I forgot his first name. Rav Feivel Kohen, that's out. He's a big goon. And he has a seminal sefer that was needed. It's kind of like a Mr. Bruin that was needed. He's mazed eating from the same plate as an extra act of tiba. And also eating from the plate, a hecker near the plate. Let's say you put a hecker near the plate, but they're eating from the same plate. Even if there are other people sharing from the same plate, he still thinks it's usher. So they should never ever eat the whole family sharing from the same plate. Well, I personally never do that ever. I don't like sharing the plate. I try to share in general, but on the plate, yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Does this have any implications for like a serving plate?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Very good. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but very good. Okay, let's continue now. What about eating her leftover food? You know, I got to lose weight, but you know, you don't want to try to be the human sewer, right? You know, you don't want to be like the human sewer. Like, you know, I sometimes bad, but I don't like to have food thrown out. So I try to finish up everyone's leftovers, you know, which is like the human sewer. It's not healthy. But on the other hand, I don't like balkashas. I don't think it's about Tashas, but I don't know. I grew up, my mom, Harita Kabarsky, always trained us to try to finish the plate. She was always nice about it, but I'm not a picky eater, or of Hashem, and I try to finish it. I don't like it to be, but on the other hand, it's hard to imagine that it's about Tashas, not about Tashas, you know. About Tashas, throw something good and throw it out. So, what happens if a husband is eating with his wife, even with the family, she's in need of it, and he wants to eat the wife's leftover food. So the Gemara in Shabbos, and you'd give on base, and when you get a chance afternoon, try to answer that question in Mishnah, relates a story, very, very strong story, of a Talmid Chacham who learned Torah his whole life, who was close to great Talmid Chacham, but he died young. His widowed wife went from the Beis Medrash to Beis Medrash trying to understand the reason why he died. This is Shabbos Yud Gimel on the base. The Gemara then relates that Eliyahu HaNavi asked her what their practice was while she was in Nida, and she responded that they never touched or never had beer. However, during Shiva Nikki, they ate together, drank together, and slept in the same bed, which is not right. Also, we'll get there. Though they did not even think of being together, he responded. Listen to Eliyahu Na'aman's response. Baruch Hashem that he was killed, since he did not follow the words of the Torah. That's very sharp, no? It's a Gemara in Shabbos Yud Gimel on the base. But that speaks volumes about the requirement for us to observe, right, these harkakas. So the Iranian interprets the sink of the Tamakakim in the above Gemara as including drinking and eating from his wife's leftovers. The reason why this is usur is because of kirva. So you're not allowed to drink or eat from the leftovers. And the Chabad Sif Dalit Paskins, based on the Iranian, that a husband may not drink the remnants of his wife's drink. Okay, a husband cannot drink the remnants of his wife's drink. Though the Ramah writes that she's allowed to drink the remnants of his drink because we're not worried about the potential of such actions leaving a kirva on her part. Okay?
She can drink his drink,
he can't drink the remnants of her drink, but she can drink the what? The remnants of his drink, because that won't lead to kirva on her part. Okay? So you gotta work in one direction, like Nate was saying. Now, I want to give you the Ramah writes four instances where a husband may drink the remnants of his wife's drink, because in these situations, no concern here. So again, the rule is what? Husband can't drink the what? The remnants of his wife, but the wife can drink from the husband, yes? Well, where are there four exceptions where the husband can drink the remnants of his wife's drink? Married with me? Okay, number one. Someone else drank in between the wife and the husband, even a child. That's number one. That breaks it up. Number two, the husband empties the remnants of her cup into another cup, even if he later placed it back into the wife's original cup. Okay, you got me? So the husband emptied the remnants of her cup into another cup, and even if he later placed it back into the wife's original cup, it's okay. So that's another, like, separation interruption. Number three, the husband does not know that his wife drank from the cup. For example, if the husband sees a cup that's half full and is very thirsty, he's allowed to drink it, and his wife need not tell him that she drank it. She doesn't have to say, oh, no, don't drink it, don't drink it. It's okay, because you did not know that she drank from it. And then lastly, number four, she drank from the cup and left. Once she leaves, there's no shash of kirva. So what are the four exceptions? Again, what's the rule? The husband can't what? Drink from the wife's remnant and drink. The woman can drink from the husband's drink, yes? You got the distinction, so I'm off the Ramah. So the proof's out of here. You follow me on this? So there won't be the kirva from the woman to the husband. What about the four? What about the four exceptions? Number child, one, what?
Child drinks
in between. Child drinks. Someone else drinks in between. Number one. Number two?
Husband puts remnants into another cup.
Puts in another cup, even pours it back in. Number three?
They know that you drank.
And number four? She left. So the Shach Paskins that only the above four criteria permit the leftover drink. But adding more liquid into the cup, remember like we talked about if it's kiddush, you know, if you drank from it, it's bugum, so you can refill it, it makes it good. That doesn't work. Whereas if the woman drank, it's half full, my husband comes up with a cup, let me refill it, and that'll be okay. That's not true, says the Shach. That works in a Paskiddush, not in a Paskiddush. Yes, mate.
What's the concern of having him finishing your drink?
Leave the kirva. Kirva.
But not when she finishes his?
Right.
Why?
Because she has more shlita. The woman has more dominion. The woman has more dominion. Out of kirva. Okay. The Ramah at the end of Sifkiwa Paskin is that just like the husband's not allowed to drink the remnants of his wife's drink, listen to this. He may not also eat her leftover food. Please get this, Jonathan. The Mechaber only says drinks, the Ramah adds on food. You got that? The Mechaber only has drinks, the Ramah adds on food, leftover food. The Tazif are not adds to the same meaning as the prior husband drinking the remnants of the wife's food. All those four also apply to the remnants of the wife's food. Yes? However, so the Zalman was Shukr Shlomo and Moshe according to Sefer HaLechos Lulav Paskin that the second Kula of placing food on another plate only applies to food that requires a plate or bowl. Like what? Like soup or the like. But taking the wife's leftover slice of bread or steak and magically placing that on another plate, oh, I put it on another plate, does not allow the husband to eat from it unless one of the three criteria is met. Because then it's like a joke, you know what I mean? But if it's someone that needs a clean, like a bowl, then the transfer of that is good. In other words, placing a liquor or stew in another dish changes its form a bit, which permits the food. But the steak is the same steak even if it's on a different plate. Cutting off a piece of meat before the wife begins to eat. Whatever, she cuts off a piece of meat before the husband, before she starts eating, enables the husband to eat that piece. That's also because it's like not her food yet. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef quotes the Orkos Chaim, the only asher's drinking the wife's leftover drink, but permits eating the wife's leftover drink. Remember we said that? The Orkos Chaim only asher's drinking the wife's leftover drink, but permits eating the wife's leftover food. Remember the Machaber said that? The Rav Ashurban says that drinking from the same cup, especially wine, often indicates a strong source of connection between the two people, and does eating from the same plate much more than eating as another previously eaten. The Bavadi quoted in Avdei Torah Shor writes that since the Machaber specifically omits mention of a prohibition to eat the wife's leftover food, it is clear that the Machaber, like the Rav Ashurban, the husband's allowed to eat the leftover food. It is only forbidden to drink the leftover drink. So it's a big split between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Sephardim will be makel on the drink. Ashkenazim will be machmir even on what? Food. You follow me? Because the Machaber left out the drink, so he held his meat. The Machaber left out the food, so he held the food his mutter. Ramah adds food and says that it's also. So to summarize. Yes.
Is that enough for the
hard sake? When it goes into a different, if it stays on the same plate, it's a problem.
No, I'm saying if he puts it on a new plate, like it's something that could remain off the plate, like again, a piece of schnitzel, a random example, and you put it in the microwave on a new plate. Is that a problem? I don't think so.
If it's on a new plate, but if it's a schnitzel, though, it could have been eaten on the same plate, so I don't think that's good.
Even if you reheat it?
It's a solid. Yeah, I don't think it's good.
Reheating it doesn't do it.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so, because on the same, it's the same food, it didn't need a plate.
So she really has to only take what?
One of the four things. It's got to be one of the four. Drinking, eating in the middle, and eating in the middle, or what? Pouring it back, take it off, and put it back in, right? Remember that was the second one? Remember that? He empties the remnants in another cup, and he plays it back in what's the original cup.
It wouldn't work for this.
What'd you say?
I want another work for this.
For food, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Right, so to summarize, there are two main prohibitions regarding the couple eating together while the wife is in eating. Number one, the couple may not eat together at the same table unless they place a hecker. Included in this is the prohibition of eating off the same plate, even if there's a hecker on the plate, the table won't help. Secondly, the husband is forbidden from drinking his wife's leftover drink. Ashkenazim is with this prohibition of wife's leftover food, while Sephardim only forbid leftover drinks. Even with regard to leftover food and drinks, there are four instances where the husband's allowed to eat or drink leftover food is delimited by the Ramah above. So Lazam Ramah Shabbat, moving leftovers onto another plate, allows the husband to eat from it only if the food needs a plate or dish needed in such as soup. Okay, so let's do one example, then we gotta get going with the Ramah Kaimis have right here. Before we'll discuss a few practical cases that commonly arise, whenever we approach these scenarios, any future scenarios that are not delineated above, Ashkenazim always need to ask themselves two questions. Is the couple eating at the same table from the same plate? Number two, is the husband and the wife's leftover food? Sephardim only need to ask these two questions in a scenario where the wife left over some drink, or if she left over some food, they only need to ask themselves the first question. Okay. Let's do one example and then we'll break. A plate with various foods on it. What is the luck in a situation where a woman's plate contains steak, rice, and vegetables, and she ate all the vegetables, half the steak, and did not touch the rice? Is her husband allowed to eat the steak and rice? As mentioned, Ashkenazi need to ask themselves two questions. Are they eating from the same plate? Did the husband eat their leftovers? Sephardim need to ask one of the first question. Let's get it.
For Sephardim,
the solution is simple. Since the Issur applies only to eating from the same plate together, as mentioned by the Shach, that sharing a plate is also used with a hecker. But if the leftover food is moved into a different plate, the husband may eat from it. Alternatively, the Ravadi and Tarzai passes that when she finishes eating, he may eat from a plate because his mother and husband eating from the same plate. She left. Just like a couple doesn't eat the hecker on the table and only one of them is eating. One of them is eating, the other one's not eating, only the hecker. It's also the opinion of either. With regard to Ashkenazim, let's get this. What do you guys say about this? What do you say about the rice? You didn't touch the rice. With regard to Ashkenaz, mentioned it. The first question, whether they're eating it from the same plate, can be resolved, as mentioned, or not, or either. Then you know what? Once she leaves, that's it. With regard, it's not her plate anymore. With regard to the second question, whether the husband's eating her leftovers, we'll break down the answer to the various foods left on her plate, beginning with rice. Rabbi Yisrael about the eating the rice is not considered eating the leftovers of the wife's food. Since leftovers on the food that the wife began to eat and did not finish, like Nate said. Very good. But items that she did not eat are not considered leftovers. This also applies to French fries. He's only asking the French fry that she bit into, but he's allowed to eat the other fries that she did not eat. However, we must her to eat the rice directly from her plate due to the issur for eating from the same plate, unless the wife moves the rice onto a different plate.
The wife moves it?
Either one. Wife moves it. She shouldn't place it directly onto his plate, since we learned below that the woman is not allowed to serve the husband food in the regular fashion while she's eating. So it should be a different plate. Well, alternatively, if she finished eating, he may eat from her plate, since it is no longer considered sharing the same plate. What about regards to steak? Leftovers. Started. With regard to the steak, the Ramon Asher's eating the steak, since she bit into it already and it's considered leftovers. Although the Ramah allows eating leftovers that were transferred to another plate, we saw above that Rosh Hashanah Mishnah limiting the speed of the foods that require a plate to be eaten. But a steak or a piece of bread does not require a plate, as soup does. Therefore, if a couple's eating at a restaurant, Ashkenazi would only allow the husband to eat for her leftover steak if someone else takes a bite from it or if she leaves the room. But moving it to another plate would not help. So I would advise when you guys get married, if the Yeoman and Jonathan, if you ever go to a restaurant and your wife eats half the steak and it's a sad situation, she's going to do so, you're not going to ask another guy in the restaurant, take a bite from the steak so that it'll allow you to eat. You know, that's not going to be too hygienic. But these halachas are very important. We continue upon them, the mice. And it shows the mice this notion to be czar as best as we can. Okay? All right. Here's the Marmot claim. This guy's, we're gonna go, we gotta go bite them tomorrow on Hammond Bay.